Today, State Farm Stadium, the Arizona Cardinals take the field. Now, granted, you are not welcome as a fan. They still love you. But because of coronavirus protocols, it's a closed training camp this year. And it's going to be a long stretch of conditioning and walkthroughs before we actually have human beings putting pads on and hitting people. But training camp, as we know it, kind of starts today.
It kind of starts today, yes, indeed, right? They're going to do work on the field as a team. There's no doubt about that. They're going to go out there, but it's just not going to be in pads. That's going to come on Monday, where they're going to go out there and they'll be in pads. That's going to be Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week, right? That's the way I think they're going to actually start off next week. But today, they will be out there and they will be working against each other. That, to me, is exciting, right? The questions that I have, first of all, what kind of personnel groupings will they be in? I know this is gonna just bore you to death, but I'm sorry, I'm an analyst. I want to know just how much 10 personnel on the very first day that you're really going to go out there and you're really going to open up in a practice at State Farm Stadium, how much 10 personnel are you going to run out there? How many four wide receiver sets are there going to be out there? That's very, very interesting to me, Doug Lease. I do believe that 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. Anyone who's listened to the show, you believe what I'm saying to you in regard to this being the most predominant personnel group that we're going to see. And I think it makes sense. Why would that be? Why do we know that? Well, the reason why we know that is because of the talent you'll have on the field. You want to get your best talent on the field. And for the Cardinals, at least in my opinion, there's no doubt it's having Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Max Williams as a tight end, and then Kenyon Drake with Kyler Murray on the field. That gives them their best, most versatile, balanced talent on the field.
I have far less questions about the offense than I do the defense. I thought the defense was so bad last year that then what's going to be different?
Totally legit, Douglas.
How is this going to be better? And I can't wait to see it. It's easy to say it should be. If your cornerbacks are actually healthy and performing, how does that change things? When Isaiah Simmons could be the darling of the NFL draft, that should change things. And if anybody provides a pass rush opposite Chandler Jones, that changes. I mean, it's easy to talk about. But is it going to actually be in reality when you don't get to really see what they could do until week one against
right.
the best, one of the best run offenses, coordinated offenses, not best quarterback, but one of the best run offenses in the NFL on the road in week one?
On that note right there, what is the tempo going to be? What's it going to be like? Are they going to go out there and they're going to go no huddle? Is that what they're going to do? Is it going to be a sugar huddle and a hurry up? Is that what they're going to do? Is it going to be huddling? To me, the tempo of practice, because once again, when you're really opening up day one, you practice the things that are going to be fundamental to your program, fundamental to your team, anchors to your team. You practice those things in the first few practices, first few weeks, really. You practice those things to get those cemented in the minds of your players. At least that's been my experience in the past. So what are they going to do? How much tempo are they going to go with?
Pac-12 has decided to not play football in the fall. Herm Edwards, coming up in a little less than 30 minutes here on the Doug and Wolf Show, the head coach of ASU. That's coming up right now, though. Time for D-backs Daily.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Thanks, Christian.
Here comes the 2-2 pitch. And a fly ball to left. Walker hits his first of the season. Into the left center field bleachers. Diamondbacks on top, 1-0.
He led off the fourth with that shot. Diamondbacks have a 1-0 lead. Unfortunately, they had a lot of base runners there. I don't know what that was. They had a lot of base runners in the first. They couldn't knock anybody in. The lead did not last long, however. Bottom of the fourth.
Next one to Arenado is hit to pretty deep center. Starling goes back, and it's gone.
Now, that stinks. You give up two runs, but here's the amazing stat. Kids, you have no idea about this team, but there's a team called the Montreal Expos that got robbed by the strike in both 1981 and 1994. They had a pitcher named Steve Rogers, and Steve Rogers used to have the record for the most outings consecutively to start a career without giving up more than three runs. Of all people, that record was beaten in the National League yesterday by Zach Gallen, who only gave up that two-run homer. And where does he set the record? At Coors Field, going seven innings and only giving up two runs.
Zach Gallen had only three-ball counts all day.
He was fantastic. He was incredible. So fantastic. And then you actually thought he might get the win.
There's a high drive, deep left field by Kelly. Did he get it all? That's number one of the year for Carson Kelly. And the Diamondbacks have tied it at two.
As Carson Kelly did that, that made it 2-2. Gallen comes out in the bottom of the seventh, gets him 1-2-3. So you know he's not going to be pitching in the eighth. And the Diamondbacks get, again, a bunch of runners on base, two runners on, and Escobar strikes out to end it. So now the bullpen needs to hold it to at least give a great outing and get a win after that. And it doesn't even remotely happen as Ginkle, oh boy.
18, now he's got 19 straight starts. There's a liner to right center. That'll get down. A diving attempt by LeCastro gets it on a bounce. In to score is Hampson on a hit by Story.
Now it's 3-2. And unfortunately, it just kept going over and over.
From July of 73 to April of 74. Fly ball hits a center.
4-2.
And the pitch. And a ground ball.
5-2.
And there's a fly ball, broken bat fly ball, shallow center. Marte can't get it. It gets down, rolls away. And two runs are going to score.
7-2.
Ahmed, no play. Murphy comes in, scoring after Arenado. Tapia ends up at second. That'll be a two-run double.
Man, there's another one, but I'm sick of hearing.
Yeah, you know what? Can I just say right now, Ginkle should go back to everything he was doing last year, whatever that may have been. The crouch, get into that crouch a little bit more. The tip, get into that tip before you actually come over the top a little bit more.
Would you like to know what is in my notes for my first question at 8:45 to Amiel Sade today?
No.
Okay. Because that's it.
Was that it right
yes.
there?
Yes.
What happened to Gavin Ginkle?
Why isn't he doing what he did before? So Diamondbacks down 8-2. They come back with their own five-run ninth inning. Unbelievably exciting. However, a very strange decision by leaving your best hitter that you've got available on the bench, and you lose the game on a strikeout from Stephen Vogt, and the Diamondbacks lose 8-7 to the Colorado Rockies. Game 3 to try to win the series today, 12-10. That game is on ESPN, 6:20 a.m.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show, brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at americaroofingco.com.
Now, Herm Edwards, in only 15 minutes, ASU head coach. Next, can the Suns really be a playoff team? That's next on 98.7 FM.
Playoffs?
Arizona Sports Station. Not very often you can say this and actually mean it. It not be, you know, just swimming in hyperbole or just hype. Tomorrow is the biggest game, the biggest day in the last decade of Suns history.
Wow.
Now, it's sad. It's been that futile that the fight for a nine seed is that usually doesn't even exist is that big of a deal. But that's exactly where we are.
I mean, we can finally look at it. You know, it's our next step. And so we know that we're not totally in control of our fate, but we put ourselves in a good position. And you know, nobody would have guessed the Phoenix Suns would be in this position before all of this started. And our guys have just battled and executed and made the plays necessary to give us a chance. And so I'm always in the mindset of the next right thing. And for us, it's going to be, you know, how we approach tomorrow, whether it's film or rest and recovery. But we do have it, you know, in our sights.
Doug Lace, Monty Williams is encouraged. Do you sense that? Do you hear that in his voice?
Yeah.
Monty Williams, Basin audience, is jacked up. He's encouraged. And why shouldn't he be? When he's seeing the growth of these young players, and it's not just Devin Booker that is blossoming before our very eyes. And when I say that, once again, this blossoming has been going on for the last 2 to 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. But man, are we seeing it now on both ends of the floor? His game completely being rounded out. It's a huge moment, I think, in Suns history going forward now, because Devin Booker is going to be the guy, to your point. This is over the last decade, the most significant event or game that is going to be played. Think about what you just said right there. And it's because Devin Booker is growing before our very eyes.
You do this a lot, and I hate to compliment you. I would never do it if I was looking at you. But with you in the Action Community Studios, I can do it. You will a lot give scenarios and say, which of these two scenarios would you rather have? And I'll ask you that. Which would you rather have?
Yeah.
The Suns go 0-8 and Devin Booker struggle, Bridges struggle, Saric not figure out where he belongs on this team, and DeAndre Ayton dominate in the bubble.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have an 8-0 Suns team in which Booker is clearly defined as a superstar scoring over 30 points a game? Mikal Bridges starting off well, falling down a little bit and exploding yesterday, learning from past mistakes. Saric being a machine and actually figuring out exactly what this team needs. And yet DeAndre Ayton had one really good game in the bubble that gave you a lot of hope.
Right.
A couple average, and the last two disasters where you really openly question, will this young man ever embrace competition?
Right. It's the latter. There's no doubt about that, right? Because I do believe DeAndre Ayton will embrace that competition. I just don't think he's anywhere close to being what he's going to be. I don't. Now, listen, granted, I don't know what's going to change at Basin O'Neill's. I can tell you right now, in my own life, it took my father dying of leukemia to get me to be the football player that I was. Now, do I hope that on DeAndre? No. No, ladies and gentlemen, I do not. But I can tell you right now, it took a dramatic event to get my attention. And I don't think it needs to come to something that drastic for DeAndre Ayton to actually get the point. But it is going to be somebody in that locker room that's going to be able to speak into his life to get his attention. And I do believe that's going to happen. Under what conditions, what auspices that happens, I don't know. But I will tell you right now, if it doesn't happen inside that locker room where somebody can look him dead in the eye and say something to him and he takes it to heart, if that doesn't happen, he's never going to be the player we thought he was going to be.
Suns, they need to win to get in. And if they win, they're not in all the way. You still need a Portland or a Memphis loss to be able to do it. That game is coming up. That game will be coming up against Dallas Thursday at 1 o'clock tip. You've got Coyotes today, game one of the playoffs, and Diamondbacks going for the series against the Rockies. That game is at 12:10 on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. You know, Wolf, since you were bringing that up, I'm going to use this as a DeAndre Ayton topic, yet I'm going it completely in a different direction.
Okay.
Have you heard of an organization called the Denver Broncos?
Yes.
You might have heard of the story of Philip Lindsay, not recruited out of high school, ended up going to a small Colorado college at first, then nobody drafted him, then he's upset that the Denver Broncos didn't draft him in the 7th round, so he says, I'm not going to play for the Broncos, when they offered him an undrafted free agent opportunity, then his mom scolded him and said, this is stupid. You've got a chance to live at home and live out your dreams. Quit holding a grudge and go play for him. So he stays in his parents' basement, and he makes the team, and he eventually rushes for 1,000 yards.
Yep.
The team actually says we need to look into giving him a longer-term contract. And instead, they gave the money to another running back. So not only did Philip Lindsay not get paid, but now he's got to compete for carries. He was asked the question, does the team going after another running back get you motivated to get going this year?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've had the same fire my whole time, from first time I stepped here till now. You know, I don't need another man to fuel my fire. You know, I know what I want. For my family, and that's what fuels me. So for me, honestly, like, nothing changes. You know, I go out there and I produce when my number's called. I make big plays like I always have, and I go from there.
DeAndre Ayton, I don't need another man to fuel my fire.
I don't need another man to fuel my fire.
Good morning.
I'm telling you right now, that gets me so jacked up. It really does, because how many times have I talked about being internally motivated and not externally motivated? When you hear Philip Lindsay say that, based on his, he's talking about being internally motivated. He doesn't need somebody to say something bad to him to get him to go do what he should do. He's going to actually go out there and do what he should do because he's challenging himself. That internal motivation, too, is the best kind you could possibly have, because it never leaves you, my friends. It does not. You won't care what the score is. I've said this, oh my goodness, so many times. You won't care what the quarter is. You won't care. All you'll see is the next opportunity to go out there and compete. Doesn't mean you're always going to win. It doesn't mean you're always going to do it right. But all it does is get you in the mindset that says, I'm going to go and I'm going to compete. And that is your worst nightmare, when you get a guy like that on the field, especially if he's a guy that has been hyper-gifted. Isn't that right, Lawrence Taylor?
I don't need another man to fuel my fire.
Lawrence Taylor didn't need another man either, and there's been a lot of football players like that, a lot of football players in particular. Mike Singletary did not need another man to get him fired up. It should be an affront to you. It really should. If you need somebody else to attack you or say something negative about you to get you to go out and do what you should do, honestly, what are you doing?
You know what I like? I'm totally stealing this from somebody else, but Pro Football Talk had a column on who are the three most motivated players going into the 2020 season. And it was easy for me. I went Cam Newton, Pat P, Melvin Gordon.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton to prove the Panthers, Pat P to prove everybody he's a top 100 player, and Melvin Gordon because, hey, Chargers, you didn't want to pay me.
Pretty good.
I got to tell you now,
I don't need another man to fuel my fire.
Maybe I'll go Cam Newton, Pat P, and Philip Lindsay, because they were the team that brought in Melvin Gordon.
That's
when
awesome.
They said they were going to pay you and they didn't.
That's awesome. That's a beautiful thing.
It is. Coming up next, the head coach of Arizona State football. And they're not playing. They're not getting ready for football. Why? Herm Edwards next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Really appreciate him saying yes. Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State, joining Doug and Wolf this morning, 7:30, just like he normally does throughout the college football season. And it seems like we might not have one. Herm, is there anything we can say in the next 10 minutes to change your mind? Is it still up in the air at all, Herm? Is this all final?
2021, that's what we're looking at right now, man.
Oh,
man. Coach,
how are you doing?
Something different. I'm hanging in there. I think everyone's hanging in there right now. We, the wind came out of our sails a little bit yesterday with the announcement. But I think if you were well aware of what was going on, you felt that it maybe go this way, postponement. And so right now it has been postponed. Our players were they upset? There's no doubt about that. Coaching staff, everyone was upset. But I think we knew going into this, when this virus first came about, that the doctors would give us the game plan, and we've always followed that. They've done a fantastic job, to be quite honest, of creating a bubble around our players, and our players have done a fantastic job as well of just staying insecure with that bubble situation. But the more they looked at it, and I think, guys, you know, the heart thing all of a sudden became an issue. And with that being said, the safety of players and all those involved felt like they couldn't go on right now.
So, Coach, you agree with the decision?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm always going to weigh with the medical people. That's, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a football coach. Yeah. I got a PhD in football. But when it comes to medicine and what they have to do and how they study things, I'm not competing against that. I'm not going to say I know what's best. I'm not a doctor. I stay in my lane.
Herb, here's what's weird. And it seems like this for all of us as normal civilians, because Wolf and I are not doctors either. But give me a week, and I'll tell you something new about coronavirus that was wrong 2 weeks ago. It seems like the information's changing all the time. And here's where it's kind of strange. The SEC and the ACC, their doctors are saying this. And the Pac-12 and the Big Ten doctors are saying this. And it seems like there are at odds. How do we know who's right?
Well, I just think that it's like anything else. You know, you got leadership from all different areas. And I go by the information I gather from our folks, and that's what I do. That's what you do as a head coach. You know, and I think our doctors have done a great job of laying it out for us. And the presidents and the people involved in making the decision, it was a 12-0 vote. It wasn't even close. It wasn't no argument. It was like, this is what we're going to do for the safety of everyone that's involved in sports. So they decided to postpone.
Coach, who does this hurt the most?
Oh, the most. I think it affects everyone, to be quite honest, whether it's the vendors that a lot of these people make their living on sporting events. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way from the shops that sell merchandise to the vendors, obviously the fans, to the players, to the coaches, TV. I mean, it affects everyone. I don't think it's – and that's what's so interesting about sports. You know, it covers so many different areas in your life, you know, and it's a part of our upbringing as Americans. You know, mm-hmm. there are certain months of the year, there's sports that we watch, live sports, right? And we're accustomed to that. And when it's taken away from us, it just affects everyone. There's a trickle-down effect, and it's a shame, but at this point, we're postponed.
Herm Edwards, head coach, Arizona State, joining Doug and Wolf. And Coach, I want to be fair, because I don't want you to find out my opinion through the grapevine. I don't like the decision.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't like it is I actually accept canceling college football. If it's this dangerous, man, God bless you guys. Take care of the kids, cancel it, and we'll see you next fall. But I don't like postponing it to the spring, because then I feel like, well, wait a minute, if it's all about the student athlete, are we really going to ask them to play 25 games in 8 months if we play spring 2021 and fall 2021?
Right.
Why are you confident, if you're going along with it for now, of that we can keep kids healthy? Do you think the human body is designed for a 19-year-old to play potentially 28 football games in 8 months?
You make a great point. And what does that look like? I mean, the NFL schedules, what, now they cut it out, preseason games, so it's 16 for sure. Before that, it's a little bit more if you get into the postseason. When you look at college football, even if you get into the Final Four, you're going to play anywhere between 14-plus games. And so this season has been shortened. It was going to be 10. Mm-hmm. And then what does that look like if you go into the spring? Do you just play your conference on the south and the other team plays in the north, and then you only play that many games and you decide who wins, and then you have a championship game and you only play 6 games? I don't know what that looks like. Then maybe the total of it is only 16 games.
Okay.
Okay, so I for me to sit here and try to figure that all out, I don't have to figure that out. I'm gonna just sit here and, you know, look, I gotta meet with my coaches here, and I gotta meet with my players, and I'm just trying to figure out, okay, now we got all this time, What kind of – can you imagine? I got here at 4 o'clock this morning, and I'm trying to look at schedules, and I'm going, man, I got a long time before we play again. I don't know how to do this. How do you write out a schedule? I mean, these kids still have to go to school. They're student athletes. We forget about that. It's not like, well, hey, you guys can go home. They ain't going home. They got to go to school. And then we still have to, you know, get them – they still got to work out. Mm-hmm. But how do you balance all this? I mean, that's – I'm worried about schedules right now, guys.
Yeah. Coach, did you hear Scott Frost, the head coach in Nebraska? Did you hear his comments?
Scott.
Yeah, did you hear his comments yesterday, Herb?
Very, very passionate guy. And I think this is an emotional deal for a lot of guys, okay? And, you know, I'm never going to second guess anybody. I don't do that. You guys know that. I don't. Everyone has their right to how they feel. And this is emotional, man, for everyone.
Totally.
I mean, for me as well, you know. But as you get a little older, you know, you slow down sometimes. You know, you just kind of slow down. You think, you know, and you go, okay. Because, you know, it's a tough spot for everybody. And, you know, people want to play football. The players want to play football. Coaches want to play football. But I think if you understood it from the beginning, we weren't going to be allowed to make the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
The medical people were going to make the game plan. And we stuck with that. Our conference stuck with that. We knew that when we got into this. We said, hey, at the end, we're not calling plays. We don't get to call the play. They will call the play. It's like, you know, it's kind of like coaching, right? We always say coaching's great. You know, fans think, well, yeah, being the head ball coach, being the coach, they say, yeah, you make all the decisions, but when they walk on the field, you got no control. The players play.
Yes.
The doctors make the decisions at the end.
And listen, you've got plenty of time to change your mind on this, but this is such a weird situation in which you have a player in Jaden Daniels who really has a chance to be special. And yet, just kind of we talked about a little earlier, what nobody ever saw this coming. It's who knows what the future holds. But just the weird sense that coming up in, I guess, February or March, he might play his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And then a few months later, he might play his junior year. And then he might get drafted in the 2022 draft and have all of that take place in a matter of 10 months or so. That's really strange. How do you even have a concept of how you plan on getting him ready for a potential two seasons as a quarterback in 1 year? And maybe if he could, you know, exceeds expectations like we all hope he does, getting ready for a draft in 18 months.
Well, you know, my obligation to him as well as all the rest of the players. And, you know, Jaden's in here every day. So we're tied to the hip. And I think, you know, the thing for Jaden, and he knows this, we got to get him bigger and stronger. And he's gained some weight. He's at 190 plus right now. He's doing good, guys. He's doing good. And so I just think, you know, his football career is all ahead of him still. I mean, he's going to get better. And I think with this offense that we're running, it really, really fits what he likes to do. And I'm excited about watching it right now and with the walkthroughs we've had and just going out on the field and watching this thing. I was excited about what it might look like. But with that being said, we got to park the car in the garage for a little while and we'll bring it out. But Jaden will be, as any player here, will be protected. And if they have a future in the NFL, as you guys know, they'll be ready to go. There's no doubt about that. They'll be ready.
So
that's just our mindset.
So, Coach, I don't want to belabor the point, but I did find it fascinating, once again, about Scott Frost in Nebraska saying, hey, listen, the Big Ten might be shutting down. We're not going to. He was intimating that they were going to try to play other teams. They were going to go, and they were going to look for people to play. He was intimating that, and it just blew my mind because, number one, I have no idea if legally he's got a foot to stand on. That is something that, again, we can debate that back and forth. But my question to you is this right here, Herm. Was this ever a conversation in your coach's room? Was this ever a conversation?
No. But, you know, I mean, look, Dr. Crow and Ray, the AD, they have been forthright with us. They have been very clear of the path that we would take. Regardless of what happened, whether we're going to play or postpone, and so that's been clear. So there was no, No.
Have you called your friend? Have you called Scott?
In other words, what you're trying to ask me, are we going barnstorm? We ain't barnstorming. No.
I just thought it was awesome, Herb.
Sorry.
Not even one game? You can't. I mean, we can play U of A at Thanksgiving. Just have one game this year. Just play U of A.
That was good. That was interesting. You know, when they, because we had like four schedules, and then all of a sudden that was the last schedule. I said, "Look at these guys. They're gonna make it. We don't have to worry about you know, players or the fan base getting excited about the first game, right?" That'd have been interesting.
Hey, Herm, it was like backing your way out of a bar. I'll fight you.
Oh my God!
I mean, I'll play you.
You love the passion of to everyone involved in sports, whether it's fans, whether it's you guys, whether it's coaches, players, we get it. I mean, it's you know, when you're an athlete or you're a fan of a team, you know, you're excited about the anticipation of the season and you want things to happen and you have these expectations because, you know, every season brings on a different journey for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about sports. You know, every season there's this hope of what is my team going to look like? What are the players going to look like? The fan base is, they're all excited, and then all of a sudden you get this. It's like, oh, no, really? Right? So, okay. We're going to play football again.
What is your – in the course of the next, let's say, 4 months, what's your most important job? Like, what questions do you have? Like, normally we ask you questions. Yeah. What questions do you have that aren't answered yet that you need answered to do your job in the next 4 months?
The most important thing is the hours they're going to give us now with the players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was, you know, I'm laughing with you guys because I tell you, you know, the schedule deal is real, man. And what do we do? You know, I'm almost at the mindset of maybe when September rolls around, basically going through a week of practice or walk through meetings and stuff like that against the opponent we would play. And go through 12 games like that, go through 12 weeks of that.
Wow.
There's a lot of things going through my mind now. Do we do that? And just anticipate this is what's going to look like during the season, right? And have a walkthrough and, you know, do some things similar, be in the classroom and study the opponent. And maybe we be studying the opponents that we're going to play in 2021. You know, what does that look like? Well, who are they? Okay, this is who we're going to play. Let's just say we're going to play Arizona. Okay, we game plan Arizona that week with our players and with the coaches. We walk through that process of what it's going to look like. We're not going to play, but mentally we can go through all the things we need to go through. So maybe there's so many things I'm thinking about, guys. Like, you know,
do we then ask you post game how you did? You can even tell us if you want. We wouldn't know as media.
But here's what I did. Here's what I thought about that. That'd be pretty good because we go 12-0.
I was gonna. Hey, you know what, Herm? Honestly, if you're gonna do that, you might as well just play him. If you're gonna go through it, just play him, Herm.
Maybe we can get the players. This could be a good idea. Why does this sound? Maybe we get the players to play video against each other. in a Madden football game or something like that.
Hey, colleges have esports scholarships now, Coach. Here you go.
I mean, come on. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do, guys.
Listen, I'm worried about you, Herm. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you're going to deal with this.
Oh, I am thinking of all kinds of things, guys. I am thinking outside the box right now. Trust me.
Now, going further, what about recruiting? What about high school? What about December and your normal thing? What are you doing? Or do you even know yet what you're doing recruiting?
Here's what we do know. Most of these kids cannot visit. That's why you see so many kids committing early. Hmm. They're not going to have the ability to come on campus. I doubt very seriously if we're going to be able to go out either. So everything has been virtual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been very fortunate.
Very fortunate recently, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you can't say any names.
We got a lot of guys that committed now. Our train's almost full, to be quite honest. So we'll see. On that part of it, we're doing pretty good. Now we got to keep them. We got to keep them on the train because they still got to sign and all that, but. We've got some guys. Oh boy, this is kind of interesting because I'm kind of excited. You know what's funny too? Now think about this though, guys.
Okay.
A lot of these guys, due to the fact there's going to not be high school football in a lot of these areas, a lot of these guys will come in here early.
Mm.
So now you've got another freshman class coming in, right? I mean, because they're not going to play football, so they're trying to graduate now. Most of these kids are trying to graduate, going, I'm leaving. I'm going to college to be there in the spring. It's interesting.
Man, it really is. Herm, boy, what a battle. Thank you, man. We just cannot thank you for your time.
Oh, anytime, guys. Hey, anytime you need, guys, I'm going to be available here for the next couple months. So
hey, if you want to come on once a week and talk football with us, we want you. We're
on the train.
We're on your train, Coach.
If you're lonely, just call me. I'll always come on.
that's fantastic, Herm. God bless you and your family, Coach.
Thank you. You guys stay the same, man. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Thank you, Herb. There's head coach Herm Edwards.
I'm on the train.
Say, he's got plenty of players that have signed up, Wolf.
I'm sorry. I just sit here and I think of Herm Edwards in some kid's living room. That kid doesn't have a chance. He does not have a chance.
It's interesting, though, he admitted that it is a big deal of how do you handle spring football, because if you're playing football, you're playing it for the money. And let's face it, you and I don't apologize for that. I don't think the NCAA should apologize for it. You can't have women's soccer. You can't have wrestling. You can't have non-revenue generating sports without football. No. So you got to play. But if his suggestion was possibly maybe you play the five games in the Pac-12 South, and then you have a Pac-12 championship game and that's it. Because you cannot play a 12-game spring schedule and a 12-game fall schedule. No. I just don't believe the human body can handle that.
No, you're
but
right.
His opinion is maybe go a little shorter. But then you have to bring up the unfortunate truth. Can you make enough money in a 5-game season to pay for all the other sports?
No.
I don't think so either. And that's what they're up against. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and we just got done talking to head coach Herm Edwards, and Wolf asked him, okay, Herm, you know Scott Frost doesn't agree with the decision for Nebraska not to play football. Do you agree with the Pac-12 and ASU's decision not to play football?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm always going to weigh with the medical people. That's, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm a football coach. Yeah. I got a PhD in football. But when it comes to medicine and what they have to do and how they study things, I'm not competing against that. I'm not going to say I know what's best. I'm not a doctor. I stay in my lane.
That is, I mean, honestly, it's hard to argue with that kind of logic, right? It is, but it's such an emotional thing. It's the one thing I love about Herm, right? I mean, once again, intellectually, this guy is nails, but he's also nails emotionally. He really is. He understands it and gets it. And even, can you imagine Herm Edwards missing a fall in football?
Yeah.
For me, there are so many people out there where the game of football speaks to them. And I'm one of those people, Basinonians. But I can tell you right now that Herm Edwards is without peer in that regard.
By the way, I blast you for something that you did not do. Because so often during the pandemic.
Wait, something I did not do.
Yes.
Okay.
So often during the pandemic, you have been asking a fantastic question. Maybe not always to the right people, but a fantastic question.
Right.
How are you handling social distancing? Because you don't seem like you would be somebody that's good at it.
Yes.
That's got to be asked to Herm Edwards, doesn't it?
How did I not ask him that? That's a great observation.
He seems like he would be the worst physically disciplined.
My goodness.
Him not being socially interactive with people has to drive him nuts.
And Herm, too, just how much he laughs, right? And he loves to laugh. Get the mask on, Herm.
Yeah.
Right? That's a great observation. How did I not ask Herm about social distancing?
There are so many questions, and there's no way everybody has the answers yet. But his statement about his schedule going forward, and then think about this. You're going to have kids that graduate early from high school so they can get on in the 2021 season, but they'll be playing the 2020 season in 2021. Can you play high school football this fall and play college football this spring and turn right around and play fall football next fall?
No.
And does that constitute your freshman year? What is your freshman? Could a freshman get extra eligibility this year because he doesn't play and then have a freshman come in and take his job already? That's so weird.
Yeah.
What we're going to have with spring football. Oh, my gosh. coming up next. Your Rush Hour reboot, the latest on Pac-12 versus SEC, the latest on the Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen, and the latest on Coyotes and Suns. There's so much stuff in your Rush Hour reboot. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.